Crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording. With Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 243.
Christmas, it's in the air. I feel like it is really now here because I feel that tomorrow we're done for the year.
Yeah.
And when you've got that date, everyone, what are you doing tomorrow? Are you done? Yeah, off until Jan 14. All right, fancy pants.
Do you, talking about the smell in the air with Christmas, are you a real Christmas tree kind of guy?
No. I saw the saddest Christmas tree at it's at my child's daycare. And
what did you say, my child's daycare?
What else
mean
is
Bodie?
My child's daycare, Bodie's daycare. Just saying, why can't I say my child?
I don't know. It's feel like
my son's daycare.
No,
child
I think,
is.
No, I think we're beyond that. I think you can just say Bodie.
Everyone loves Bodie.
Well, because we talked about this early days where it's like, I'm not going to reset who Bree is.
Oh, yeah. Bree is Josh's girlfriend.
What do you reset it?
I'll reset.
Are you just
pretending?
We've
had spike in listeners, so maybe people don't know who Bodie Boy is. So Bodie Boy, they have to leave like a lot of the sort of ornaments that hang up high because the kids just rip them apart. So it's like this half-dressed Christmas tree. It's a bit sad. I remember as a kid we used to get all the shit out of the cupboard that was in there that just came out once a year, and that was just my brother, and then we'd get the Christmas lights.
we know what happens when I do that sort of thing.
What?
That was when I found out. Mum yelled at me.
Oh, that's right.
You have to go back to, I can't remember what the episode title was for that story.
Ruining kids' Christmas. Yeah. It wasn't called that.
Santa. Maybe it had Santa in it.
Maybe.
I sounded a bit bogan when I just said that Santa.
Santa. We actually saw, bumped into this guy. I don't know why we ended up even having this conversation out the front of our house. He was a dude that lived in the area. And old dude, Silver Fox, probably, you know, late 50, no, probably 60,
like
60
George
something.
Clooney looking.
I mean, that's a compliment. I wouldn't go.
Silver Fox. When you say Silver Fox,
yeah, Silver Fox. Just
was it a condescending Silver Fox?
No, Silver Fox, full grey man, full like it almost goes white.
But a fox, the Silver Fox, the fox bit implies that he's sort of good looking. No?
Does it? Probably Silver Fox.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a nice thing to say to somebody if they're. I'm not going the old grey haired bloke.
Yeah, but that's realistically.
No, I get it. If you're a young dude who's good looking who's going real grey, you could be the Silver Fox.
Yeah.
He was an old dude with grey hair. Somehow we chatted and he was telling us that he's the Santa at Meijer, or one of the five to six Santas that are at Meijer. And he was an actor in a past life and he's got kids that have now grown up and he just thought, this is a little Bunsen burner, you know.
A little bit of extra cash.
Wonder if he gets paid cash.
I wouldn't think so. I reckon there'd be a lot of checks. The interesting thing, can you turn your phone off? Have to buy us a slab, woof, woof. Again, another slab, woof, woof.
Whose
texting
role is that?
That's a common film.
It's Amy.
What does Amy want?
Well, I just told her that I said, darling, I won't have my phone on me. I'm doing a backup to iCloud. And so, and we're about to go to a shoot, so I've got to leave it plugged in. So,
and what did she say?
I didn't get this reference. She said to me, thanks, baby. Love you, my special lobster. I don't get it.
Lobster. I feel like I know that reference.
I don't get it.
We're talking about lobsters in something.
Jordan Peterson talks about lobsters, but I don't know what she's referring to, me being a lobster.
Yeah.
Do I look like a lobster?
No. But the Santa thing, a friend was telling me how they were like, oh, yeah, we go up with our kids. We wouldn't really trust the kid just being with Santa.
Well, because the Santa's a pedophile. That's what they're insinuating.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't you think that's fucked up?
Yeah, like that's fucked.
But then there was another person like, oh, yeah, no, we wouldn't put like Johnny on the lap and not be there. I was like, are you kidding me? Is that a common... Is it a common thing that people – I'm like, you are seeing – he's getting his photo taken. Mm. Don't you think we're losing a bit of magic in life if that's a thing?
Yeah, here's the reality though. There was Tom Brady who one of the
Brady
greatest
Bunch.
No, far from it. One of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history.
Tom Brady, was that the dad's name though in Brady Bunch or no?
I can't remember. He was married. Tom Brady's married to Michelle Bunchen, who's a supermodel. Mm-hmm. And there was a video that came out. It's probably this time last year, sometime last year. He was getting a massage because he's a professional sports player, so constantly, you know. He's constantly training, looking after his body, and his kid comes into the room and sort of says something. It's like some sort of candid video or like a part of some show. It's like a candid moment of just, you know, behind the scenes at the Brady house.
Okay, sure.
The Brady Bunch. And he said, no, come back to his son, who's like probably 11, 10 or 11. And he said, no, come back. I want to kiss. Now kiss daddy. Kiss daddy on the lips. And, you know, see, another one. And they're kissing on the lips. Mm-hmm. And it's – you can imagine the fucking headline that the newspapers, the desperate scumbags have fucking put together. Tom Brady, you know, kissing his child on the lips. Like, it was gross. They were insinuating that. So yeah. It's like by saying, oh, you can't let your kid sit on Santa's lap,
Yeah. You're
calling him a pedophile. Yeah. So Tom Brady, you're a fuck. And I will be the first, if Tom Brady comes out of something, to say that's fucked. That's annoying.
If I was Santa, I'd crack the shits.
You know what? My personal brand's at stake.
Yeah, exactly.
Bitch.
I'd also be like, you know what? I don't want your fucking kid near me.
Yeah.
I would actually, if I was Santa, I would say I want my mum around as well.
You know the problem? There's a flow-on effect because I was infuriated when I saw that.
Yeah.
And I was a dad.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck, I love it when Bodhi kisses me on the lips. There is something. It's like we have each other's faces in each other's like. You know, I don't know. It's just the weirdest thing. Maybe it's like when you first get with a girl or a boy or your partner and you love just being in each other's space. It's mm-hmm. like that is what I want. Yeah. Maybe not for Bodhi, but I just
– there's an intimacy that's completely fine.
I can't get close enough to my son. Yeah. And see, that even sounds like someone could take that out of context.
Yeah.
But I love my fucking son to death. But there is a – so when you see those articles and I saw – who was it? I won't say their name, but I probably will say their name. I can't remember.
Don't say their name. Can I just quickly do an apology?
No, after. Okay. But so this person, I saw someone post a photo of in each other's faces.
Yeah.
A kid, someone I knew, and I was like, my mind goes there. Not to go, you're a fucking pedophile, but my mind's triggered based on hearing these articles and seeing this, and then it's the swell that sort of gets generated by these things like your friend, I bet you they don't think, or whoever that was,
yeah.
I bet you they don't actually think Santa that is there is a pedophile.
Well,
it's just
they
this
think that they're doing the right thing. They're like, oh, like I'm a good parent because I don't, and I'm just like, I think that's like a really sad place to be.
Yeah, it's sad. We don't do apologies on the show, mate. I'm sorry, I'm cutting that one off. There's no apologies.
Okay,
you own what you say. Or you do.
Should I bring it up or no?
No, because then it goes down.
Goes down a rabbit hole. Well, this is the problem with making stuff every day. You say things and then we look upon reflection. You probably, I don't feel like you've got the personality that regrets those sorts of things.
No, because I've got you filtering and there's been a few instances in this podcast where Josh has cut something I've said out.
It's only happened twice.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, and I think maybe.
Have you cut anything out of this that you've said that I haven't known about?
No. Yeah, just.
So you've never gone
I
back
say
and
racist
anything.
Thing and then allow you to say the racist bit and I keep your bit in. No, but I just think that there's a. As we start to get more listeners, all of a sudden I start to think about, like, maybe it's recontextualizing the podcast and I have to worry about these things more.
Mm. Yeah, I. Maybe it's okay to not believe something that you've said years later because you've changed your belief system and that's okay. I think that's the exchange with creating, putting stuff out. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you then, if you're saying stuff about people, do you need to then say, oh, look, I said that thing.
Depends on what it is. I think, I think you can, if you want to go hard on somebody, if you want to call Pauline Hanson a fuckwit, there's probably
but
a lot
Pauline
of people that
Hanson,
agree with
but the thing is Pauline but is Hanson. Pauline Hanson's a fuckwit. I'm happy to stand by that. But there's a bunch of other shit where it's like, oh, I don't necessarily. But we were talking about Bogans yesterday.
Yeah.
A lot of Bogan banter. Peter Shepherds, who's been on the podcast.
Yes.
Messaged in.
Big Periscope peep.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think Periscope Pete isn't his actual name.
Human Periscope.
Yeah. I like Periscope Pete. If you want to rebrand, mate, I'm all supportive of changing it to Periscope Pete. PP.
Pete says, wearing trackies and a hoodie out to breakfast. He said, in fact, trackies and hoodies to any meal in a social setting is bogan.
Is bogan. Yeah, we asked because we were sort of going through what we classify as bogan. Yeah. I laughed to myself walking down the street because all I was thinking about was compo. It's real bogan to take out compo when you actually don't need the compo. You're just pulling a fucking compo fraud.
I had a friend that her dad's job is a doctor and he deals with just compo cases. Mm. So he works with private investigators and stuff to look at if they're saying their back's really sore and then they're lifting shit, they build out a case for fraud.
Yeah, that's fucking sick. I watched this video, Mr. 97. Can you just look it up just to find the name of it? I'll talk about it, and you can see if you can find it based on what I'm saying. It was so funny. I don't know. This guy has basically built technology. Like he's a creator or like some scientist that's created stuff that's gone to Mars. But he's got this YouTube channel.
You're talking about Elon Musk?
No. I don't know. It's gone to space. So he's basically an inventor who now has a YouTube channel, and he did this.
You're very sniffly today. Yeah, why are you so sniffly?
Lots of cocaine. It's not. Joking. Good. I don't know what happened there.
Okay.
I'm all good.
But it was like a semi-sniffle panic attack because you were like you couldn't stop.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Anyway, so this dude has this YouTube channel, and Amy and I somehow started watching this video. What happened, the reason he's made this type of video, which is almost a prank video, and in the video he says, he prefaces, I don't do prank videos, so I'm super uncomfortable about this, but he spent so much time on it. He lives in a house that has Amazon. He's American, so he just gets Amazon deliveries, like a lot of Americans. But what was happening in his neighborhood, people's Amazon things that were getting left at the front door were getting nicked. Uh-huh. And so what he was trying to catch these people, and he built this fucking elaborate box that had he crafted it and had it 3D printed for this mount to have four phones, so like a square box, one on each end. Yeah. So they're using the camera from the phone that is pointing out so he can capture, and basically the video, as soon as it starts recording, gets sent to iCloud. So he gets to store it. But what he built was this mechanical thing where he got the finest glitter in the world, fills it at this top, and he goes into how he built it. It's like this mechanical thing that sort of when the box gets lifted up, it hits this latch that then starts doing this and starts spraying the glitter. So you've taken it off. The cameras are capturing this fucking fine glitter just being shot all over the person, and then within 30 seconds, every 30 seconds there's a fucking toxic fart spray that goes off. And so he's like, we've set up a geofence around our area, so if I'm not there, it will trigger in my pocket and tell me that someone's taken the parcel.
And is there a YouTube video where it happens?
And there's a YouTube video. Yeah, that's it. So it looks like an iPhone. Oh, yes. We'll put this up on Reddit, not that we have done anything on Reddit in a while, but
the dailytalkshow.reddit.com.
It's called Package Thief versus Glitter Bomb Trap. It's had nearly 30 million views. Oh, it's on the number one trending. No wonder we watched it. Number one trending worldwide. No wonder Amy and I watched it, because it's kind of an obscure sort of
video. I'm excited to watch it. After this, can we
Robber.
Watch it?
Can you look up Mark Robber and give us his wiki stats? But it is so funny. And what I loved about it was that it wasn't like a hard prank video. Yeah. It's like you get what you get. And I was like, yeah, take that, because they're not getting hurt. They're like, man, what the fuck? One of the guys in the video, because it's recording the audio, he's by himself. He's like, oh, man, my girlfriend's going to think I had some girls in here, because he had glitter all over his lap.
So good. Walking this morning, a guy dropped a box of cigarettes on the ground, like a bit of a litter job.
You know what we call them?
Litter bugs?
No. Gronks.
Gronks, that's it. It's a gronk. Worse than a bogan.
No, that's bogan behavior.
Yeah.
That guy.
Drongo.
He's a drogan. a Gronk Bogan.
But anyway, so I was with Peter at the time. We're walking, and I was like, I'm going to say something. And so I got into character, pretending to be you. I said, hey, mate. He's halfway across the road. So he dropped it at the lights.
And on he purpose. Said, walk, he did, yeah, 100% yeah, did on purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah, okay, good.
He's halfway. I was like, mate. He turns around. I said, oh, you dropped your ciggies.
Yeah.
I picked him up and he wasn't going to cross. He's like, thanks. And then he grabs it and then he missed the light. Like, so then the good thing was he missed the lights as well. Yeah. So he got a real lesson.
Suck it. Suck that. There is that's the nice way of doing it. So there's no aggression. Yeah. It's like, oh, dude, I am giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to go.
You've dropped your durries, you Gronk.
I don't think you want to do the extreme like aggression, because all you can be met back with is what?
Mm.
Oh, sorry, mate, or aggression.
Mm. Mm.
So that's my idea.
I mean, I've met a few of them with aggression.
Do you know what I was listening to an ad this morning on the radio, and they were saying it was for adrenaline. Yeah, like vouchers to do experiences.
Adrenaline's a company that has experiences.
Vouchers, sort of like Red Balloon.
Yeah.
And they were saying, got the perfect gift for everyone, V8 supercar, hot lap for the guys and for the girls. Why not a beautiful hot air balloon ride?
I'd pick the balloon ride over the vouchers.
That's why I thought of like, fuck these guys. Do you think... am I being too PC if I'm saying that this gendered advertising is a bit bullshit?
I think it's pretty correct.
It's bogan.
I think it's pretty correct.
What do you mean?
I think it's pretty correct in the audience that listen, the bogan audience that listen to radio that are probably V8. Mm-hmm. V8 heads.
Yeah.
Think about it in all the mechanics workshops and, you know, just – I get it though. Yeah, there is – you could just drop – See, I don't even want to – it's not like making – I don't think it's something – it's not a big deal, but you could totally just drop those two.
But do you think it's more effective as a
– I mean, we work in the space of audience, knowing our audience.
Mm-hmm.
Who is majority of people that will go and do the V8 V8 fucking rev head, you have a few black rats after?
What's a black rat?
Mm, Black Douglas and Coke.
Still don't know.
Or like a Bundy and Coke.
Okay.
Like a rum and Coke, black rat.
But the I was listening to Maybe It's You with Greg and Amira, who have had on the podcast.
Yeah, they had them on LA.
Yeah, in LA, yeah. And they were talking about being a bad receiver of gifts.
Mm.
And
that's me.
Well, they told a story about a friend of theirs who Amira went to this friend's house, and there were these paintings on the wall. And Amira's like, oh, they're awesome paintings or whatever, and the her friend said, her friend has a rich husband, and she says, yeah,
you mean she's rich, she's got a rich husband,
yeah
they're a bunch of rich
money. She basically said a story about this. I went to a friend's house that was an art dealer, and she'd just started being an art dealer, and I wanted to be supportive, and I was saying, oh, this is beautiful artwork.
Oh yeah.
But this is the problem. So where I thought it was going was, so then she felt obliged and ended up buying some work. No, that's not what happened. The friend who was the art dealer called the husband and said, you have to buy these for her. She would love them. And so then the husband buys the stuff, puts it up on the wall, puts it up on the wall and says, I've got a surprise for you. Look, I got these things. And so that friend would be making commission.
Yeah.
Isn't that so dirty?
You don't want to make – like making money off your mates in that circumstance is pretty fucked. Similar, we're selling desks. Well, I've got one left in the office.
Yeah, do you sell?
I've been flogging them off to people because I think it's a – I mean, this is the thing. People who do multi-level marketing think they're offering value to their friends and they're selling to them. I actually think these desks are valuable. I paid – $250. They're worth like $9 or $1,000 each. My friend handmade them for us, four of them.
And you offered them to him first. Well,
yeah, think about if I sell them for $1,000, he gave them to me for $250. I just made $4,000.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. Yeah. So I thought.
Also, you're charging more than what they're worth for a secondhand product, which is also outrageous. Yeah,
you know, you get what you can for secondhand goods. Sometimes you fluke it. But my point was, I can't imagine if he found out and was like, "You're a rat." So I offered them to him. And said,
I mean, it's the same guy who that same trait of doing that is the same guy that steals grapes from Woolies.
Why?
Don't you think that's the same moral compass?
No,
yeah, mate, I sold him. It was $1,000. I got some good cash.
No,
because... What are you eating? Just some grapes? Did you pay for them? No.
So I'm the guy that does the grape thing.
Yeah,
I'm the other guy that... I've got standards, bro.
But you draw the line.
They're just higher than grapes.
No, you're actually quite shit at selling things.
But why?
Well, you said to our mate Tom, you sold him a desk.
Mm. I didn't sell him a desk. Oh, Tom. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking Tom next door.
No.
I sold it to him next door.
No, so Tom, you sold him a desk. He said $250, and then he texted and he said, how much was it? I'm transferring you through now. It's like, just transfer it through $200.
Yeah. I was being nice. So it's shit in terms of making money. This is the whole thing. Friends. I struggled to sell to friends. And so it was, he said, because there's one with a bit of a stain that I was going to sell cheaper for $200. And he said, which one was it? And I was like, I can't be bothered getting into this.
I reckon if you charged the right price for desks, you'd be able to afford the fruit at Woolworths. I reckon they're connected.
So the guy who made the desks, I asked him, do you want them for what you gave them to me for? Because then you could sell them for a lot more through you, because they're a branded piece through him. He said, nah, you sell them and you make money.
Okay.
And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't make any more than what I paid. So I'm selling them. I've sold them, but
yeah
it is hard. It's a hard one.
We're getting close to the end of the year.
Yeah, sorry, Mason, Mr. 97. Does he have an update? You nod your head on that bloke. Some stats that we can guide the guy who's got the number one trending video world on YouTube
now. What do we know?
Hang on. This is coming forward.
Small cable.
Yeah, no, he's an engineer at NASA who worked on the Curiosity rover. It's on Mars.
Curiosity rover. Oh, fuck. And now he's doing the
smart.
Now he's a YouTuber. He's really done. He's gone the full circle.
Yeah.
End of the year.
Smart as fuck, yeah. End of the year.
Creativity, thinking about the next year. I was talking to a mate going through a divorce at the moment.
Yeah.
He was asking me what my sort of thing is for the year. I'm like, consistency, just want to be consistent. And he was saying...
This year, was that for 2018?
No, that's for 2019.
Okay,
that's
great.
What I want it to be. Consistent.
Is that in your mood or...
definitely not. Definitely. Well, because my mood's based on yours and I can't rely on that.
Oh!
Was that a good troll or what?
It was a good one. we're a mixed bag, Josh.
Yeah, we are.
You don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, no, he was talking about consistency. He's gotten right into Jordan Peterson.
Oh yeah,
going through a divorce. Yeah. It's great. He's got a nickname for him, JP. So what would JP do? JP says this, and he was saying, JP used talks about consistency. I think everyone's seeking consistency, and he was talking about the idea that we were sort of. We live in adolescence for a lot longer. We get to 30 before we actually get our shit together.
Mm. Adolescence, so those the mindset that you gather throughout your childhood and into your teens. Mm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel like that shifting out of that sort of it's even relating to family and relying on people and sort of it's super like if you take all of that off the table, there's a lot of ownership you need to. Accept and life is challenging. And so, I totally agree with that. Shifting out of that sort of younger mindset. Maybe how do you feel as a younger brother? Did you feel that?
No, I feel like an older sibling in some regards.
You're an old soul.
Yeah. But what's your take on this new year? How are you going to approach it?
Yeah.
What's your focus on creativity? What does that look like?
I've been thinking a lot about giving up alcohol for a whole year.
How much are you drinking at the moment?
Yeah, see, this is the thing, right? People go, here's a few responses if I say that to people. How much are you drinking in a year? Or do you have a problem? And if there's some adolescent behaviours that I've carried on, I've been drinking every other weekend, sometimes excessive, sometimes not. Sometimes 10 weeks without it. But there's never
when have
been...
You done, have you done 10 weeks this year?
Last year. No, okay. I didn't do it this year. Last year I did a long stint, which was one of the longest I've had. And only 2 years ago did I have the first New Year's Eve sober.
Sorry, we've just got some breaking Bogan news. Houseboats.
Oh yeah,
Peter Shepherd.
Woo!
Houseboats are a bit Bogan.
I just crushed a VB on my skull, and now I've just jumped on the jet ski.
Jet skis, Bogan.
Yeah.
Sorry. So you've
the first New Year's Eve sober. So going into the New Year sober in I would say close to 15 years, and that's like. So this is where you go, what defines a problem? Excessive drinking every night, I think that is a problem.
Yeah.
But then what is – I see not having a year off in my nearly, 15, 16 years of drinking is – I see that as like – why can't I do that? I see it as a hard thing. So I've been getting into that Goggins guy.
Yeah, even David Goggins.
He's
Can't Hurt Me is his book. Listening to an audio book at the moment, waiting for his actual book to arrive.
Just a hard bastard. He's all about just like you think you know the limits of your capacity. Yeah. Well, they're much further beyond that.
I stopped listening to it at night though because I felt like it was going to give me nightmares.
Yeah.
Just like the shit that his childhood. It's a little bit – it's a very depressing – full on.
But he's all about just you can be tougher than you think and you can put – you can get through pain. And there was one thing that he said that's like very success is on the other side of discomfort, and it's such a classic line, right?
Yeah.
But so something that's hard. So what's hard on the other side of that is success or some kind of reward. And for me, thinking about a year off alcohol, that's fucking hard. Like just going down, you don't do it. So it's like me and Conspiracy Jimmy. One of my favorite things is just punching 4 pints with him.
Could do 4 fizzy waters.
Yeah, punching 4 pints and then going to Macca's. And then just, having good, solid convo, getting a bit of a buzz. And so it's hard. And so I feel like when I mention this to a bunch of people, not you because, you're just asking normal questions, but I think there's like a lot of people find it challenging, like find it confronting or are triggered by it because it's a fucking hard thing to do, to just say no to something for a year when you've been in a pattern of doing it for so, so many years. So my point about – not the word, but I've been thinking a lot about that. There's so many benefits, feeling of, time that you get back, money that you're not spending. I'm a better person when I fucking haven't been drinking. You're very irritable. Like the next day if I've been drinking and it's just like, oh, you just fucking – shit annoys you a bit more than normal. And I don't think we're optimal when we're drinking. But anyway.
But do you think there's a risk in, especially in the US, weed being legal in places, do you think that there's a risk in people self-medicating on other things? Or do you think, like, do you ever worry about,
so you
like,
drop drinking and
drop drinking and then being like, I'm just going to have a chooch every...
You're just going to blaze a bit. I'm thinking about zero
so you wouldn't,
external altering things, like smoking weed, taking any drugs. It's like the whole thing is if I'm going to get off,
might as well just do everything.
Because I don't like, you could say, it's a release. Mm-hmm. You've had a hard day, it's a release. In my opinion, it's an external thing that you're relying on to give you that release. So it's not like
it's not internal.
You're getting something, putting it into you. So then I see that as the problem.
What do you think what do you think you'll use that time? How many hours do you think you'll gain a year by doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just about like, say, Jimmy and I. It's like maybe we could choose to do something different or in that time where we've punching 4 pints and going to Macca's.
Go for a walk.
I could do something productive for our business, for the podcast, for my content that I'm creating.
But not everything. I think part of the risk, like you're listening to Colin and Samir's podcast yesterday. We don't need to be optimized all the time. We don't need to always be doing it. Like I think that there is, like talking to Peter about the Daily Talk Show, and I was trying to get some feedback from him, as I love to do, and he was sort of saying, sometimes there's shows where like I don't necessarily, like it's more just a laugh and fun, but it's not like specific, like he loves when we have Jules or Hamish or Seth Godin on, or we're talking about creativity.
Yeah.
But then there's also that thing of like, do you want that all the time? Does everything need to be optimized to be getting something out of it?
Yeah. I think giving a other than, for me, alcohol, it's a poison that you put into your body. Yeah. It's like legit fucking poison.
But then there's...
And so there's nothing inside of me that's saying I'll stop drinking because then I'll work every second of the day.
It's like, because I think you'll replace, I think naturally we replace things with other, like if you want to get rid of a bad habit, replace it with another habit. So I'm curious, it's like with the social media stuff, I don't feel like even though I'm off, I've switched that time at the moment, if I'm being honest, into like refreshing our podcast analytics and like clicking through to like, oh, what does it look like?
So you're saying if you don't set out with the conscious mindset of I will replace it with this, it will just
you'll replace it. You'll replace it with something that's not, you're not conscious to.
Yeah, as long as it's not some fucking bad thing.
Yeah,
I don't think you know, like social, like this is you saying, what's the thing that's sort of that similar refreshing stats? It's still within the same ballpark. Yeah,
it was doing. It's triggering
what,
the same.
What part. Could it be for alcohol? I don't know. It's like that time. See, this is the thing. I can't see it as a similar thing. So it's not like I've.
So the pub thing. So and you need to play within the context that you're going to be drinking. So, is it getting into cards?
Cards. As in what the fuck cards? 31. Pokemon cards. 52 pickup.
31.
As in legit 21. Cards. Oh yeah, no chance.
Poker.
No chance. I'd like to train more. I'd like to. Exercise more.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant train more with cards. Like just that is part of it.
No, but exercise more. I don't know. I think it's a good time. I haven't sort of made the decision, and it's not to say that I'd stop drinking forever because I love having a red wine. And so
is this like the equivalent? We were talking about it the other day, where people will say that they like a certain thing, but they actually like the other. So people will say, I love drinking black coffee if they're going for a coffee roaster job at a cafe.
I don't find the...
So they drink lattes.
I drink a lot of red wine more so in the winter. It's like I'd rather drink cold beer in the summer.
I had how much red wine are you drinking?
We were getting... we were drinking a couple of bottles a week, one bottle a week. And that's all it has to be, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be, if you... It's not like you don't drink as much as coffee.
I nearly went the other way with New Year's resolutions where I was like, maybe I could imagine just chilling, having a red wine.
Oh, you want to get – mate, you want to step into my shoes?
But I was thinking about I was like, I don't know if that's helpful for me.
Yeah.
Is there any place for unproductive resolutions where it's like I'm purely doing this? Because we were going to do a doco on alcohol consumption called When I Drink. We had the domain name. We're going to do that this time last year. And we were looking at some research. It was basically saying that it's like a bell curve. And it was saying basically if you don't drink at all, you have higher anxiety. And if you drink a lot, you have higher anxiety. People in the middle who just drink a little bit have lower anxiety.
You show me one of those people who drinks a little bit, and what is that defined as? That's the hard thing.
Because in Australia, drinking a little bit is only having one glass of wine a day.
So that's
that's my perception of what people probably think. I only have the occasional. I'll just have one drink of an evening.
I mean, for me, if I have one glass of wine, I feel different. Like it changes my internal.
In a
like
good
I
way?
Yeah. It gives you a little buzz, like a feel. So it goes it's beyond the taste. I like the taste of it. The other reward is the feeling that it gives my body. And whether I'm sensitive, I can drink a lot. It's probably because I've been drinking for so long. Like if we drank four pints now in the next couple of hours, I'd be fine. You'd be spewing.
Yeah.
And it's just the time frame of doing it. So even though I have drank a lot, I still feel the effects very quickly of alcohol. It doesn't mean I'm drunk from one glass.
Mm.
It just means I'm feeling it. So that's my worry, right? It's like, if it's once a day, 6-7 days a week, you're having an altered state from an external substance 7 days a week. So this is for me. It's like I don't care if people drink. I like drinking.
Yeah. So
if you want to.
So the result will be earlier mornings waking up, do you think, on the weekend?
I'm not at that point anymore where I can't get fuck-eyed anymore.
So where's the benefit?
I think the benefit is...
If you can't get fuck-eyed anymore, which I've never said before in my life, fuck-eyed.
Yeah.
F-U-C-K dash E-Y-E-D. Fuck-eyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. 97, can you look up fuck-eyed?
Fuck-eyed.
What's the actual if you're not
Here's the thing. I know myself, and this is why it probably doesn't affect people. Someone else who doesn't think like me, no one else is me. So I know that if I drink and I drank hard today, tomorrow I'll be more irritable, more likely to blow up or get frustrated at Bodhi or Amy. So it's like,
isn't that interesting though?
Because I'm not a great person.
Yeah.
I'm not the person who I want to be.
You're not a great dad.
I'm not a great dad. See, there's the thing, right? You say that. It's like, I would think that there is a lot of people that, if they looked at themselves, would be there. Mm-hmm. And then you think about that person that you then become. Is that the person that you think you are? Or are you okay with saying you're that person? And I'm not trying to be high and mighty, but it's like, I don't know if I am. I don't like that.
It's funny you say that, because that's how I feel about food. Mm. The exact same comparison is, it's like if I eat poorly, and so it's the same argument in some regards that people give, which is like, I'll say, I'm not doing sugar anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're being silly. You're just being silly now. You don't need to get rid of it. You just need to have less.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same ratio? Is it different? Fuck eyed. Is it a thing?
Okay. So.
Yeah. No hyphen though. No hyphen. Just one word.
And what does fuck-eyed mean?
To be extremely drunk. A term coined off the fact when this occurs, your eyes are half shut and you look like a maggot for the rest of the night.
There you go, fuck-eyed.
Fuck, you're maggoted, mate. You're fuck-eyed, Bogan. Bruh. So I see that. And then the response to that could be, just have a little bit. It's like, if I have a little bit, I don't know if there – I'll continue having a little bit all the time.
But isn't that the whole – because you get annoyed at me with the food thing, because you'll say, no, you're being fucking weird about it, or you're upset, like taking it off the table. That's fucking too far. Like you're being weird about it. You just need to simplify.
So you're saying going to the extreme.
You getting rid of alcohol, I feel like, is the exact same thing of me doing a diet.
So what's the solution then?
Well,
and what
know.
Do you think from your personal experience, nothing to do with alcohol, for you and food, what would be the actual solution? If it puts you into a place where you're incongruent to the person you want to be when you are doing it, have you thought about it?
Well, I think that it's reconciling the, okay, why am I being conscious in when you're doing it? Why am I drinking? Am I drinking because of social circumstances? Am I drinking to numb a feeling? Am I drinking because I actually had a bad day and I need to unwind? And so for me, you can replace drinking with eating. So it's like, the reason why I'll eat like the rest of the ice cream, like I can rationalize and say, look, I said to myself the other weekend, I'm like, if there is ice cream in the freezer, if there's any left over, I'll finish the tub. That was my rule. I'm like, you know what? It's 50-50. There might not be ice cream. And probably in the back of my head, I knew that there was ice cream.
Ice cream. Just bought it. She actually saw it. Deleted it out of your mind.
And I ate the ice cream.
How much?
And then,
how many scoops?
No, it wasn't in scoops. I just ate it out of the tub. It was in tubs. Yeah, it was in the tub.
Yeah, okay.
And so the thing is, but it is... Why was I doing it? And then I was like, okay, I'll have a wagon wheel. And then I'll have, I'm like,
Nick all minute, of these. Fuck eyed.
Well, yeah, no, but the thing is, it's like, then you're like, well, how much can your body, what's 1,000 versus 1,500 cals? So it's like, well, I might as well just like fucking dump it. Oh, you know what? I'm going to pretend like I've just gone to a froyo and I'm just adding some bits. I've had the ice cream. I feel like I want some bits on top.
Yeah, it's a justification.
I'm going to have a wagon wheel and say, actually, there's peanut M&Ms. I had the peanut M&Ms. This is just a little bit of it.
How about I just drink wine? So I don't drink beer. It takes a lot off the table. Just drink wine.
That's like me saying I'm only going to just eat M&Ms.
Okay, and so...
Do you know what it's like?
Don't touch me. You just slapped my hand. I don't know why you felt the need to.
I'm sorry.
Lean over and slap my hand. Anyway, I've got no candy in here, big boy. Boom.
I thought you did. No, it's the equivalent of saying I'm only going to do dark chocolate.
And is it better than having it open, or is it – so is that better than saying zero chocolate, or I'll just try and cater to – I'll just try and be good?
Well, using based on – but what about if I bring the question back to you? Me just having dark chocolate, because you always crack it, because I said I didn't have dinner and I ate a little bit of dark chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, man, fucking.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sick of it. All you talk about is this chocolate thing. I'm like,
I'm fine right now. I'm just telling you what I had last night.
So what's the answer, though? Is it?
I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up.
No, it's good. It was a good one. Good accent. I've changed my accent from that.
One of Peter Shepherd's favourite things.
Hang on.
My mum's voice. Mum's voice.
Pete, it's the best. It's one of the best. Yeah. So if we go back to Goggins and on the other side of that pain, because I think it would be hard for you to say zero chocolate, zero dark chocolate. Yeah. So if dark chocolate is a thing, so rather than going sugar, because sugar's in so many things, if you just look at chocolate as a thing that you like to eat and you do it occasionally and you've refined it too, so it'd be like me justifying, say, only red wine, or saying I don't spend any money on alcohol. No, I can't. None of my friends can actually buy me alcohol.
That never works.
If I was at a go to a party and there's like a bar or you
it's
know,
a tab. Fucking nightmare. I tried that, and then you go to the Virgin Lounge.
You start seeking them out, right?
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden,
where's the party, Mr. 97? Can you put together a list of the free functions on that we can go to?
It's literally like, oh, tell me, why are you going to the art gallery tonight?
I wear Hawaiian shirts now.
Yeah.
But
that won't
so
work.
So then, what about I was going to say, what about you quit dark chocolate? You just take chocolate off the table and I take alcohol off the table. I don't care about you. I do, but I can't tell you. I can't fucking – you won't do it if I come up with it. It's like 100%. Me. If anyone ever said – unless they gave me $1 million or a bunch of cash, $1 million.
Okay.
But taking it off the table, it's hard.
The sugar stuff, I think,
is – because it's all mental that we've talked about.
Fruit toast, I need to take that off the table.
Yeah. Yeah, but then – yeah,
Or do you think no? Because you probably say fruit toast isn't your problem.
Dark chocolate's your problem. No,
but I don't think dark chocolate is a problem. I think fruit toast is at the moment.
I think the food addiction. So I don't think that I'm an addict. So I'm not comparing this to someone. But so someone, if you were similar to me, my thinking is the sugar thing, and it is harder because it's an everyday thing. Alcohol for me is not – I do it at functions, I do it at events, or I do it at home. It's like
– well, you brought gummy worms from across from Conspiracy Jimmy. Why did we even get them?
I wanted a little
– and so you just asked and you just said – Mr. 97, can you look up what the
– we don't need to know how many calories are in gummy bears.
No, I was going to say the definition of addiction.
Addiction.
Because isn't part of, I guess part of the problem I feel is sometimes people say, I'm not addicted, I just like it. But it seems like it's one of the same thing.
Yeah, to unwind. I like to just have a drink. I like to just, you know, when I get home. No, I think I agree.
All right, so Mr. 97, what is the definition of an addiction?
Yeah, well, the Aussie government reckons it's addiction is a physical or psychological need to do or take or use something to the point where it becomes harmful to you.
So the point where it becomes harmful.
At what point? Putting poison in your body, full stop. Sugar in your body is not.
I mean,
great for
having
you.
Half a punnet. Or how do you describe ice cream? Half a liter, half a tub of ice cream. Is that harmful?
There's a lot of sugar content in that.
Yeah,
I don't know. If we look at down refined sugar in 40 years' time,
hi at thedailytalkshow.com. A tub of ice cream harmful or not? I think it is.
I think it's harmful.
Felt shit.
Yeah.
So maybe. Yeah. I think it is. But so we need to refine what we're like the whole goal thing. Let's
I think we could do it on our New Year's Eve show.
Yeah.
I think we've still got a bit of time. It's when I'm pondering the alcohol because I think
what do you need to ponder about? What do you need to actually work out?
I feel like it's a thing that I want to do and I'm just sort of exploring. I feel like I'm closer to ever actually making a commitment because it is. Like think about us overseas. Like think about all the contacts I've made, but the people I catch up with for beer. Like it is. I think this is why you would decide, oh, I can't not eat sugar.
Yeah.
It's because you start
But isn't that funny about the, I think the experience you're having is the experience I have with food.
Mm.
And because it's like with the ice cream. No, but there's definitely just fucking splitting the wagon wheel in two, just with the marshmallow, licking the marshmallow off. I've never done that before. Always go whole.
Yeah.
No, but I think that that thing of like, don't be weird about it, stop thinking about it, just doing it. I think you could apply it to this sort of thing too, which is like you could rationalize it for hours. You could be like put out a map and being like, well, I actually have a friend's wedding in August.
No, it's actually in March.
In March. Is that really what you're thinking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, Shawnee's.
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, do I need?
100%. It's totally what you do. You start going down that rabbit hole. But then I also realize how silly that is of my own thinking. I realized the stupidity.
I knew friends that were like, oh, we're going to do a month of no alcohol.
Mm.
And they're like, actually, I've got an event on the 3rd that I want to drink.
Mm.
So let's do it from the 4th until the 4th. But I just feel like that's fucking defeating the purpose. Just stick to the month.
Yeah, I know. And dry July, you can purchase a day off.
30 days have September, April, June and November. So 31 days in July. So it's a good – if you're a real alcoholic, you'd pick Feb.
To start.
Yeah. You get 28 days. Or, what's happening with the ham?
Yeah, we've got a ham run tomorrow.
Can you
– I'm delivering it to Robbie Ward, okay. To Quadlock.
All right.
I'll be
– I heard on the radio that it's been hard to get ham.
I've seen hams at the local supermarket.
Are you going to be able to get
– We haven't specified the size of the ham. We have not specified whether it's shaved ham. No, it won't be shaved ham. It will be something that is
– We need to work out what Rob wants, I think.
Mate, do you get to choose when you call Nova what you fucking want?
Yeah, well, you get the voucher and then you go and you buy the one that you want.
No. You'll get the voucher and you'll go down and pick up the fucking little leg of ham that they're giving away.
I don't know if
it's
it is little.
It's not choosing. You're not getting a voucher to just go, well, I'll have a few of those little snags. I'll get a few of those little cutlets. And what? How much have I got left? Bit of salami?
Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See you.